Joe Budd, Fillmore Street. This is CamillePod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 28th of April, 2016. On this date in 1503, the Battle of Cerignola near Bari in southern Italy is fought between Spanish and French troops. It is the first battle in history won by small arms fire using gunpowder. 1789, 3 weeks into a journey from Tahiti to the West Indies, Fletcher Christian leads a mutiny against Captain William Bligh on the Bounty. 1869, Chinese and Irish laborers for the Central Pacific Railroad working on the first transcontinental railroad lay 10 miles of track in one day, a feat which has never been matched. 1920, Azerbaijan is added to the Soviet Union. 1932, a vaccine for yellow fever is announced for use on humans, which is sadly coming back among the uninoculated people of Angola. 1945, Benito Mussolini is executed by partisans after being caught trying to slip into Switzerland in a German uniform. 1967, boxer Muhammad Ali, citing religious reasons, refuses to be inducted into the United States Army and is immediately stripped of his heavyweight title. 1969, Charles de Gaulle resigns as leader of France. 1986, high levels of radiation resulting from the Chernobyl disaster are detected at a nuclear power plant in Sweden, leading Soviet authorities to publicly announce the accident. 1994, former Central Intelligence Agency counterintelligence officer and analyst Aldrich Ames pleads guilty to giving U.S. secrets to the Soviet Union and later Russia. Birthdays are James Monroe, Oscar Schindler, Harper Lee, Saddam Hussein, and Penelope Cruz. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment, go to the forum or ask a question at tpeelpod.com. Send us an email at tpeelpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Following up on student protests, once again, on May the 25th of April, Auditorium 115 students from Tbilisi State University protested against what they call a police regime. They marched from the university gardens to the State Security Service building. They were demanding that law enforcement bodies stop threatening them through their families and for the ODRs, or Secret Service agents, to be removed from public universities. In the past week, student activists were coming out to say that police agents were trying to pressure them to stop their protests by threatening some of their family members. The Ombudsman Office also revealed that they had received an official letter from the Interior Ministry confirming that ministry employees had, quote, visited the family of one of the student activists in Batumi, but they claim it was to update information about where the student was living. There was a different student protest in Tbilisi the next day on the 26th of April. It was quickly organized via Facebook. There were hundreds of people. They came from a number of universities and were demanding education reform, but they said they don't want changes concerning the student unions. Whereas Auditorium 115, focused in Tbilisi State, wants to get rid of the student unions. As I've mentioned in the past, student unions, particularly at Tbilisi State, control a lot of money. So follow the money to figure out what's going on. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili is on a four-day working visit to the United States this week. He met with Vice President Joe Biden on the 25th of April, with senators and with the IMF and World Bank. A working group for the IMF is expected to visit Georgia in the near future. Kvitikashvili also spoke at the U.S. Institute of Peace. It's online. Have a listen. It was intended by Democratic Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut. Kvitikashvili was also at the University of Illinois, where he earned a master's in finance in 1998. During the U.S. visit, the U.S. government's Overseas Private Investment Corporation, OPIC, signed a memorandum of cooperation with Georgia's Partnership Fund to invest in new projects. Be nice if OPIC convinces them to be a little bit more transparent about who's putting money into that. Not too many details on whatever has been agreed. For now, the Georgian Embassy in the U.S. organized an investment roadshow. It's in Chicago, Boston, and New York this week, being supported by Citigroup and J.P. Morgan. Kvitikashvili attended in Chicago. They're showcasing Georgia to some U.S. investors. Other travel news, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili was on a two-day visit to Brussels. He met with President of the European Parliament, EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini, and the Speaker of Belgium's Chamber of Representatives. They announced that the President of the European Parliament, Martin Schulz, will visit Georgia in the coming months. Minister of Internal Affairs Gheorghe Mkhebeshvili was in Romania. A delegation of U.S. Army and NATO officers arrived in Batumi on the 28th of April. They're preparing for the U.S.-Georgia Noble Partner Joint Military Exercise. It will be in May, and to inspect Batumi Port. On the 25th of April, the European Parliament's Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice, and Home Affairs positively assessed Georgia's progress towards visa liberalization, said it supports visa-free travel for Georgian citizens to the Schengen zone. The second committee hearing is scheduled for the 28th of April, after which the question of removing Georgia's visa requirements will be put to a vote at the European Parliament plenary session. If it's approved by the European Parliament, it is then sent to the European Council for final approval. On a similar note, the foreign ministers of the Baltic, Nordic, and Visegrad countries met in Latvia. They issued a statement calling on the EU to immediately abolish visa requirements for Georgia and Ukraine. During his trip to Brussels that we mentioned earlier, Parliamentary Speaker Uzurbashvili commented that there are three small problems that could delay Georgia's EU visa liberalization path. He said there is the geopolitical situation. I don't know if that's a small problem, but by that he meant, you know, Russia being Russia. He also said a major factor is the national movement lobbying the European Parliament to delay it, and that together with some members of the European People's Party, they are trying to connect visa liberalization to the national movement. And finally, he said there is the problem of anti-Western rhetoric coming out of some Utsneba members, and their statements are sometimes perceived in Brussels as the government's line. He was talking about Gogi Topadze from the Industrialist Party and called him a not-so-young Leninist and Stalinist, which is funny. There were protests led by the National Movement on the 27th of April concerning Bidzina Ivanishvili and the Botanical Gardens in Tbilisi. National Movement people were saying that BI bought land from the Botanical Gardens and attached it to his private residence. The Botanical Gardens administration got to pocket the money. They said the official auctioning of the land is on the 3rd of May. The National Movement then protested outside Tbilisi City Hall. National Bank cut its key refinancing rate by 50 basis points on the 27th of April to 7.5%. The bank's Monetary Policy Committee said that it plans to gradually reduce the key rate to a natural level of 5 to 6%. As a reminder, the National Bank started tightening the monetary policy in February 2015, with a key rate gradually increasing from 4% in the beginning of 2015 to 8% until now. They said that tightening the monetary policy in 2015 contributed to lower inflation expectations. Also on the 27th of April, the central bank said that it decided to decrease commercial banks' minimum reserve requirements for local currency holdings from 10% to 7%. However, it increased minimum reserve requirements for foreign currencies from 15 to 20%, which is pretty high, certainly by European standards. On that note, the National Bank forecasted that Georgia's economic growth will hit 3% in 2016. According to Geostat, Georgia's economy grew by 2.3% in the first quarter of 2016, where it was 3.3% the year earlier. Keeping up with Georgia and NATO, the U.S. Ambassador to NATO, Douglas Lute, was speaking at the Aspen Security Forum in London. He commented that he doesn't think NATO will extend membership to Georgia or Ukraine anytime in the near future, and that there is no way of getting consensus from NATO countries on this issue. He explained that Russia plays an important part in the strategic environment, and the strategic environment will put a brake on NATO expansion. Speaking at a conference on Black Sea security in Sofia, Bulgaria, NATO's Deputy Secretary Alexander Vershbo said that the alliance should consider a NATO military presence in the region with a particular focus on maritime capabilities. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli spoke the next day on Imedi TV saying that for the NATO Warsaw summit in July, quote, we, Georgia, should be very realistic. There is no consensus among the 28 members of the alliance to extend membership to Georgia, that for now the indicators of success at the NATO summit will be if Georgia receives additional instruments for providing more self-defense capabilities and deterrence. Khidasheli also reminded us that at a NATO Georgia defense ministerial meeting in Brussels in February, Tbilisi tabled a detailed plan listing instruments that will make Georgia more secure. She didn't give more details other than that they are actively working with NATO partners on Black Sea security. On the 27th of April, the Parliament of South Ossetia ratified the treaty on the state border with Russia, which is meant to officially mark a state border between South Ossetia and with Georgia. There was a bus explosion in Yerevan on the 25th of April. Two people were killed. About 10 were injured. Investigators say the bomber was one of the two killed. The bomber was targeting relatives in a family feud. In other Armenian news, on the 24th of April, Armenia commemorated the 101st anniversary of the Armenian genocide. Actor George Clooney was in Yerevan for the ceremony. A documentary film, The Dazzling Light of Sunset, by director Salome Joshi, won Best New Film at the Neon International Film Festival in Switzerland. It's about a cast of characters in a small town in western Georgia. Ketevan Tsakaya won Best Supporting Actress for her performance in Moira at the Beijing International Film Festival. Filmmaker Nana Evhimeshvili is working again with German filmmaker Simon Gross. Together they made the 2013 film In Bloom about the lives of two teenage girls in Tbilisi in the 1990s. Now they started filming their second joint film, My Happy Family. It's being filmed in Georgia. It's about a middle-aged Georgian woman caught in a conflict between her family and her personal freedom. Short film The Preparation by new director Gheorghe Tzilosani will play at the Los Angeles Film Festival in June. On the 21st of April, U.S. Congressman Steve Russell spoke in the U.S. House of Representatives about politics and the October elections in Georgia. He said how Russia tries to influence the region and undermine country's sovereignty, and that in Georgia's case, the chief method of infiltration is oligarch Bidzina Ivanishvili, who he says is a close ally of Putin. Congressman Russell said that they plan to rig and buy votes in the upcoming elections and that the Elections Commission is controlled by Bidzina. He called on the U.S. Department of Treasury and Western banks to freeze Bidzina's assets because he is an illegal arms trader, and called on the State Department to flag Georgian officials and business leaders complicit in tampering with free elections and have their visas revoked and their assets frozen. Wow. Misha gave another interview with Rustavioti on Sunday, the 24th of April. He proclaimed that he is confident that the national movement will be victorious in the parliamentary election in October, and that he would return to Georgia afterwards to help them after the win, since everyone's excited about that. A lot has been going on with Misha in Odessa. He says that he's asked President Poroshenko to send in 1,000 National Guard troops to protect Odessa from violence, especially leading up to the second anniversary of the trade union fire that killed over 40 people in May 2014. This past week, a protest camp outside of Odessa City Hall was broken up by thugs. People were beaten up. They were protesting against the Odessa mayor, who's a former member of the Party of Regions, which was led by deposed President Viktor Yanukovych. Misha is also against this mayor, so there's accusations that Misha organized the violence on purpose so that he could call in the National Guard. An Abkhazian exhibition at the International Tourism Fair in Budva, Montenegro, was shut down by Montenegrin police at Georgia's request. The exhibition was put on by Abkhazia's Chamber of Commerce. They had refused to take down the exhibition, so police covered it with a tarp. Abkhazia responded that Georgia's policy of isolating Abkhazia might hinder the process of resuming the work of the Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism. More Abkhaz news. Abkhazia's parliament rejected a draft law that would lift the ban on selling real estate to foreigners. It was proposed by their foreign minister. There's been a lot of debate and demonstrations in Abkhazia over the past week on the issue of selling real estate. Many fear that Russians will buy everything, which, of course, is the whole idea. Israeli news site Haaretz report that a cargo plane belonging to the Azerbaijani Defense Ministry landed twice in Israel earlier in April during the Nagorno-Karabakh flare-up. We will link to the report. The Public Registry is teaming up with Bitcoin and the well-known Peruvian economist Hernando de Soto to design and pilot a blockchain land titling project. Forbes reports that, and we will link to that more, specifically they're working with Bitfury Mining, which is based, which is a company that mines Bitcoin and has a bunch of free electricity in Georgia. There's a Georgian-Ukrainian businessman who's very keen on Bitcoin and set the whole thing up and is tight with Bidzina. Blockchain is technology that Bitcoin uses that is a sort of digital database. It can't be broken into or tampered with. So the Georgian project is they will launch property rights registration platforms so that people can register property on the blockchain without going into the public registry. It only costs a few cents to do it. This is interesting but complex because it takes two codes, one on the public registry side and one on the owner's side. And if the owner loses it, they lose the property. So not sure how they would solve this, but something worth looking into. State security agency arrested the governor of Baghdadi. They're charging him for misappropriating large amounts of state funds. International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, I-C-A-O, removed its red flag against Georgia from last year. Red flags are usually given to countries that do not comply with ICAO requirements regarding safety. Regarding security, according to ICAO's latest audit results, Georgia made significant improvement and now exceeded the plan set by the organization. The report will come out later next week. Georgian Railways will have four new double-decker trains operating the Tbilisi-Batumi route made by Swiss company Stadler Rail. The trains will be able to carry 530 passengers each and have a maximum speed of 160 kilometers per hour. They'll be introduced in July. 22-year-old judoka Vaja Markvelashvili won gold in his weight category at the 2016 European Judo Championships held in Kazan, Russia. Varlam Lipartelyani won gold in his weight category at the same championship, and Georgia's national team was named overall best team. Three Georgian teenagers invented a drone-operated technology to clear landmines. It's called Lifesaver. They won the Young Inventor Project Olympiad hosted in Tbilisi and are now working with Delta, the state military scientific center, to develop a prototype. National Movement says that one of their activists in Rustavi was attacked by local officials from Rustavi City Hall, including the deputy mayor. They said that their guy owns a bar, that the Otsneba-affiliated officials came in, were drinking, and then started insulting the owner and beat him up. Police have opened an investigation for assault or battery. According to Turkish newspaper Hürriyet, the World Bank and European Investment Bank plan to allocate $1 billion and 1 billion euro, respectively, to help build TANAP, which is the Trans-Anatolian Natural Gas Pipeline. It will bring gas from the Caspian Sea and Azerbaijan through Georgia and Turkey to Europe. It's a little weird since Nabucco, which was one that had the best chance, was sort of sabotaged by the Turks trying to take more money than was practical out of it. From a Tpilpod listener, we're bringing up the case of Centerpoint Construction Company. They were on trial in 2013 for fraud. They appropriated about 310 million lari from about 6,000 people who invested to buy flats and new apartment buildings that Centerpoint was supposed to build. Centerpoint simply never built them and just blew the money. That was Vakhtang Rachelishvili and his family. Senior public officials were involved in Centerpoint. It was understood that because of their connection to the National Movement government at the time, Centerpoint Group owners avoided prosecution for the money and not building. The listener pointed out that since Centerpoint has been back in control of their own property management since 2013, they have still failed to build a single building. The historic province of Pshavi in the Mskheta region alongside the Aragvi River is likely getting a protected landscape status. The Agency of Protected Areas is evaluating it. Protected landscape status is different from national parks or reserve status. It permits the sustainable use of natural resources and development of ecotourism. The public registry rejected an application to register the autocephalous Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster as a public legal entity. It was proposed by a journalist. The public registry said they rejected it because he didn't include documentation that the religious community is registered in an EU member state, and second, because they explained that the term autocephalous is only granted to the Georgian Orthodox Church. I myself am very sympathetic to the Pastafarian cause and will follow this case closely and report. New airport open in Tel Aviv. It's called the Erekli Meora Airport. It will mainly service domestic charter flights and an occasional international flight using a six-seater Piper Seneca airplane. According to Freedom House 2016 Freedom of the Press report, Georgia's press freedom status is partly free. Georgia got a score of 49 out of 100, zero being the most free. It is the best ranking in the region. Tbilisi City Hall will install 700 new bus stops in Tbilisi. Local company Alma Transport will build them starting in about a month. All the new shelters should be built by next May. The new stops will have LED screens for advertisements and other messages. A company from the United Arab Emirates called Green Valley International Real Estate Group is set to launch two large-scale projects in Tbilisi and Batumi worth $300 million. They will soon get permission to build a Green Valley city in the village of Tabakhmela overlooking Tbilisi, which will be luxury villas. The second project is the construction of Batumi Towers, two 21-story towers, which will include apartments, shops, and recreational spaces, and it will be directly on the sea. Russian customs reportedly sent back to Georgia large amounts of tangerine imports. The tangerines were exported from Poti. Russia says, however, that about 40% of the fruits are actually Turkish, and since January, there have been Russian sanctions on importing Turkish fruits and vegetable products. On the 27th of April, five men were arrested in Kobuleti trying to sell 1.66 kilos of radioactive uranium-238 and uranium-235 for $3 million, as we reported a week or two ago. The State Security Service did not reveal who they were selling to. The five were given pretrial detention. As a reminder, 10 days before, six people, three Georgians and three Armenians, were also arrested trying to sell radioactive uranium-238, allegedly for $200 million. Bus and Marshutka drivers were protesting at the Ortaçalı bus station on the 27th of April against Turkish bus company Metro operating in Georgia. A Georgian man was charged in absentia for murdering a young man and his mother in 2014, was arrested in Greece, is being extradited to Georgia. Two Latvian citizens and one Georgian citizen were arrested in Georgia for stealing almost $450,000 from an American company by hacking into their computer system. There are reports in Turkish media that Georgia transferred 15 hectares of land in Samska Javakheti to Turkey. In the 70s, the land became Georgian territory because some changes to the riverbed that formed the border. The report from the Turkish paper was then reprinted all over Georgia media. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs confirmed that the story is not true, as has the Turkish ambassador. Georgia has not transferred any land to Turkey. Orthodox Christians in Georgia celebrated Palm Sunday on the 24th of April. Orthodox Easter is Sunday, the 1st of May. President Mark Velashvili pardoned 95 prisoners for Easter. About 25 prisoners were released and 25 had their sentences reduced. Georgia, alongside 170 other countries, signed the Paris Climate Accords on the 22nd of April at a ceremony at the UN in New York. About 150 soldiers from the 22nd Battalion of the 2nd Infantry Brigade of the Georgian Armed Forces returned to Georgia this week after serving 6 months in Afghanistan as part of the NATO-led Resolute Support Mission. Two junior dancers from Tbilisi Vakhtang Chabukiani State School of Ballet won major awards at the Riga Spring 2016 International Contest of Choreography. The government's Check in Georgia festival launched on the 24th of April with an Eros Ramazzotti concert at the Tbilisi Sports Palace. People are saying it was a great show. As a reminder, Robbie Williams is coming as part of the Check in Georgia. He's performing at the Dinamo Arena on the 27th of May. Maroon 5 will play in Batumi on the 7th of June. Spanish opera tenor Jose Carreras will perform in Kutaisi on the 18th of June. Tbilisi contemporary art group Project Artbeat will participate in the 2016 Volta Art event in Basel, Switzerland in June. We really don't do advertisements on tbilpod.com, but if there's a cool thing that exists and is worthy of note and Georgia connected, we will announce it, so anything like that, be sure to let us know. Here's one. TopiShare, an international tech startup operating from Tbilisi, developed a new social network that combines the power of social networks through connections and the value of forums through topic-based conversations. The platform was created to provide a solid alternative to the cluttered news feeds, irrelevant content, privacy violations, and algorithms deciding what you see and who sees it of current social network giants, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The platform was launched March 3rd. You can join the transformational social network now by registering on TopiShare, that's TopiShare, all written together as one word, and starting a global conversation on whatever matters to you. The concept is sound and it is well set up, so go check it out. That's TopiShare, TopiShare. Parliamentary news. Parliament launched a discussion this week, a rival draft bill for reforming the electoral system, which includes constitutional amendments. One of the bills is proposed by a Otsneva parliamentary majority. The other is initiated by parliamentary and non-parliamentary opposition parties. They both envisage scrapping the majoritarian component of the electoral system, but the opposition-backed bill proposes to do it immediately ahead of the parliamentary elections in October. The Otsneva bill offers to apply the reform post after the 2016 elections. Any constitutional amendment needs the support of at least 113 lawmakers. On the 27th of April, Parliament adopted, with its first hearing, the legislative amendments to the election code that would allow a prime minister to run for a seat in Parliament in the upcoming elections without having to quit his cabinet post. The amendment is basically designed to allow Prime Minister Kvitikashvili to lead the electoral party list of the Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia Party. As a reminder, Kvitikashvili is set to become the party's chairman at a party congress planned on the 14th of May. Under existing legislation, the Prime Minister and other members of the cabinet have to resign if they run for Parliament. Opposition lawmakers have obviously criticized the bill as the Otsneva's coalition attempt to tailor legislation to its political convenience, since, of course, the national movement never, ever did that. Meme this week is a trailer for Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown episode in Georgia. It's being shared all over Facebook, involves drinking cha-cha. Tara Burton in Roads and Kingdoms gives a basic guide to what you need to know about Tbilisi, food, drinking, Bidzina, the Dry Bridge Market, and some tips for women travelers. Washington Post editorial board condemns the Aliyev regime's crackdown and repression of independent and critical media in Azerbaijan. On that note, the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project documents and updates the activists and journalists imprisoned in Azerbaijan on trumped-up charges. Excellent journalist Maya Edilashvili summarizes for Eurasianet what the debate and protests have been over the ODRs, or secret agents in universities and public institutions. The students and civil society don't want it, saying if Georgia is claiming to be democratic, it is an invasion into citizens' private lives, which it definitely is. Elements of the government supporting the system, however, claim they need to monitor what is happening because foreign students coming from countries with lots of terrorism, which means Iraqi students, and is a completely goofy excuse, but they have to come up with some reason for it. Anyway, Maya Edilashvili is an excellent journalist and does a good job of covering the main issues of this topic. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili interview with Associated Press during his Washington trip. He vows that Georgia is keeping its pro-Western course. Also a recording of Prime Minister Kvitikashvili's talk at the U.S. Institute of Peace. Hadet's report on Azerbaijan's defense ministry plane in Israel while there was renewed fighting in Karabakh. Forbes on how Georgia is working with the blockchain for land titles. A romantic piece in the New Eastern Europe by Bruno Macias, a former Europe Minister of Portugal, on the lost tribes of Azerbaijan. Some skateboarders skating around Georgia and Armenia have some cool photos. Boston Globe uproariously describes in detail how you eat an Ajaruli Khachapuri. Facebook page Collective Evolution muses and interprets the Ali and Nino statue in Batumi. CRC blog is on how Georgians feel the EU perceived them and changing trust in the EU over time. All these things to read, posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 15%. That's how much Georgia's population has shrunk in the past 12 years between 2012 and 2014 census. This information is from Geostat. They've released the final results of the population census that was carried out in November 2014. So Georgia has a population of roughly 4.3 million in the 2002 census. That's now 3.7 million. In the census, about 87% of residents describe themselves as ethnic Georgians. Next largest ethnic group are Azerbaijanis at 6.3%, 4.5% are Armenian, 0.7% are Russian, 0.4% are Ossetian. The rest, 0.3%, are either Yazidi, Ukrainian, Kist, or Greek. Interesting that they're not mentioning Abkhaz or Ossetians, Abkhaz in there. 83% of the population describe themselves as Orthodox Christian, 10.7% say they're Muslim, 2.9% are Armenian Apostolic, and 0.5% are Catholic. Tbilisi Shevardnadze National Gallery has an exhibition on Georgia's Jewish community on display until the 11th of May. Black Sea Jazz Festival in Batumi will be from the 15th to the 24th of July. Lauryn Hill and Quincy Jones will perform. Go to TbilisiJazz.com to see more. Tickets will be available later in May. The Tbilisi Flea Market is back on during weekends at Dedena Park. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. We'll keep going with the ska from 1979 with The Specials. This is Nightclub.
Charlie down at the nightclub. Come and we go bossing. Bossing!
What am I doing here? Watching the girls go by. Spending money. I'm out.